The Old Testament reading is Psalm 146, 146. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. Do not put your trust in princes, in mortal men who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, the maker of heaven and earth, the sea, and everything in them, the Lord who remains faithful forever. He upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the alien and sustains the fatherless and the widow, but he frustrates the ways of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever, your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God.
The gospel reading today is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, beginning at verse 38.
Praise and glory to God.
As he taught, Jesus said, "Watch out for the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes and to be greeted in the marketplaces and have the most important seats in the synagogue and the places of honor at banquets. They deprive widows of their houses and for a show make lengthy prayers. Such men will be punished most severely." Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins, worth only a fraction of a penny. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all that she had to live on." This is the gospel of Christ.
Praise to Christ the Word.
May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. There's a story about a Scottish man a few years ago who lay dying in the living room with the whole family gathered around him. His wife held his hand. "I'm here with you," she assured him. He lifted his head. "And the children?" he asked. "They're all here, all of them, and their husbands and wives too." "And the grandchildren?" was the next question. "They're all here, in all in this room," he was assured. So the man looked around him. "All here in the room with me?" "Yes, yes, that's right," his wife said. So he propped himself up with great effort and said, "Then why is the light on in the kitchen? Just think of the cost of electricity these days." Well, the Scots are known for being tight with their money and always concerned with being thrifty and not spending too much. In other places, other regions are known for being thrifty. In Germany, that is the Swabians. Just a few days ago, the then German Minister of Finance justified his tightening of public spending by saying that he is like the responsible Swabian housewife who is careful with the household's finances. Unfortunately, he didn't convince the Chancellor, the equivalent of the Prime Minister, and so now he's dismissed. Anyway, so the Swabians are proverbially known as being thrifty in Germany. And you may not be surprised that I'm Swabian too, and proud of not being too frivolous in my spending. Because I know exactly from which shop I get what household items. Milk, pasta, and butter these days come from the warehouse. Yogurt, cheese, and some vegetables and cleaning products from Woolworths. Hand soap from New World. Oils and peanut butter from Pack and Save for me, but since it's further away, maybe not so often. Basic vegetables from Veggie Fresh. Sausages and mince from the Verkirk's factory shop. Fancy pasta and dried fruit from Benin. Flour from Farmer's Mill in Wostdijk. Frozen bread from the French bakery factory shop. Particularly since they introduced the 15-minute frequencies on the number 8 bus, I can just nip in and out. Other frozen products from Frozen Direct. Mayonnaise, cereal bars, and kid cereals, plus some other bargains come from Save More. But muesli, well, that's generally too expensive for me from any shop, so I make that myself with walnuts I crack myself, together with Baker's Honey from Colgate Honey and oats from Gladfield in Dunsandel. Well, as you can get the drift, I'm quite proud of getting good quality products at a reasonable price. Of course, my wife does shopping totally different, so we probably have quite average expenses, but at least I'm being true to being a Swabian. Now, with such an attitude, you might not be surprised that I'm not the most spontaneously generous person. I'm not sure whether I'm the right person to preach on that. If someone knocks at my door for a charitable purpose, my go-to response is no. I only part with money after I've done a thorough research, so I don't know how any salesperson is expected to make a sale to a Swabian like me, unless the timing just coincides with my research. Today, in our gospel reading, Jesus gives us a lesson on generosity by pointing out the difference between the apparently lavish amounts given by rich people and the widow's giving. It's good to be reminded that the apparent generosity of some wealthy people is in fact not as generous as the little that some poor people give. It's good to remember to value the sacrifice that some people give when they donate. Too often in our society, we make a fuss about sums donated by somebody rich, when some poor people give proportionally far more from the little they have. So I could explore that a lot more fully, but today I thought I'll concentrate on something that bothers me as a person who is somewhat tight with money, namely, why give at all? If you are naturally generous, that's not a question you would ask. You just give when you see a need or feel that it's the right thing to do. So for the next part of the sermon, you can just look at the rafters and smile at people that have to think over everything 40 times. But for some of us, possibly the Scots and Swabians among us, that's a real question. And so I thought I'll tell you another story about me. Well, you might know that in German schools, there are normally no school uniforms. So when we moved here to New Zealand, I found the school uniform I had to wear strange but interesting. And then one day, I was told that it would be a mufti day next week. Today, that's called non-uniform day. It's more politically correct. So I just had to bring a dollar for charity, and I wouldn't have to wear my school uniform that day. I wondered whoever could be so stupid enough to pay a dollar just to wear normal clothes. There's nothing special about normal clothes. Who would spend a dollar on that? Well, later on, I learned all about peer pressure, and the requirement to wear cool clothes was quite intense. And students apparently were quite happy to pay the dollar so that they were not the on one out. Still, while I sometimes participated in mufti days, sometimes I rebelled against the whole thing in the name of thriftiness. Now, I'm happy to say that one of my children has turned out to be a good lad, and he's also not been swayed by peer pressure. When he told me that we shouldn't waste a dollar on a non-uniform day, I was very proud of my boy and gave him a big hug. He did not, however, the other day he did want to participate in gumboot throwing on Gumboot Friday, and I did give him a dollar, even though that charity would normally not have passed my stringent tests. For some of us, we need a good reason to give. Jesus, throughout his ministry, assumed and encouraged giving some of our money to the temple and to the poor. Of course, that was nothing new. This comes from the Old Testament. Some of the giving is very carefully specified in the Old Testament. 10% of this or whatever, exactly what amount is to be taken from what and at what time. For some folks, such detailed provisions may be a bit easier to handle and quite straightforward. For others, they may appear restrictive and overly prescribed. But the overall concept in the Old Testament can be summed up by an attitude of thankfulness. For example, as part of the offering of the first fruits, there's this conclusion: "And you and the Levites and the aliens among you shall rejoice in all the good things the Lord your God has given to you and your household." And so the giving and the sharing comes from an attitude of thankfulness and of joy. Part of that thankfulness is for the necessities of life that we enjoy, that we have a roof over our head, food to eat, and a measure of health. Thankfulness even includes thankfulness for having some money, some resources that we can actually decide to do something with or to distribute. And giving also signifies that we have at least slightly more than what it is required to live. Now, of course, people differ quite markedly on what they consider the essentials of life to be. And I think that's the additional role of giving, a look at what we really need. It allows us to consider what we spend our money on and what's important to us. But that thankfulness goes further still. It's not only about material goods. It's also thankfulness for life in general, and more particular, gratitude for our salvation in Jesus Christ. That's quite clear in Paul's letters. He said that Christians have been given riches in Jesus Christ, and therefore he encouraged them to share their wealth with their fellow Christians, in particular with the church in poorer areas such as in Jerusalem. Paul was quite clear that this thankfulness meant supporting also the preachers and teachers who were essential for building up the community and teaching the faith. Thankfulness, then, is at the heart of giving. But there's more, I think. The poor widow put in what she had to live on. It was a real sacrifice, not just a little something from the plenty she had. In other words, her giving was such that it actually made a difference in her finances. She noticed it. It was sacrificial. Now, I have to be careful here applying it to our time and day, of course, because some churches and religious communities have exploited people too often. They've asked them to give more than they could, and through that made life worse for people. Prosperity preachers continue to tell people to give even when they can't afford it, promising further riches in the future, but overall just enriching themselves. There have been many questionable practices about tithing in churches. Of course, it's not only churches. If any of you have experienced the pressure tactics of some of the charities, they may be described as quite unconscionable at times. We need to be aware of that when discussing giving. Yes, we ourselves get the most out of giving if it's noticeable, if we actually notice that we give, but we need to guard against the abuse of a good thing. Now, I once heard a minister say that it's not so important how much we give, but rather that we prayerfully have considered it and then made a conscious choice to give. I think this is a valid guide in our giving, but probably more so for people like me who carefully consider what we might give. But I know that others are not like that. they give when they're moved to give at that moment. While I would hope that our giving is grounded in prayer and research, I know that it's not how everyone deals with their time and money. Nevertheless, the more prayerful our giving is, the more it is grounded in thankfulness. Now, I want to add another point. Throughout the Bible, giving is also seen as a way of sharing in community. We give because we are part of something. We are part of our world, our country, our city, our church. We express our way of belonging through giving. For example, by giving to overseas aid, we express our solidarity. By giving to local need, we say that we are part of something. By giving to our church, we say that we are part of this church community, that together we can do something that individually we cannot do. This contrasts with a consumer pays model when we pay for services received. And so, quite rightly, the church does not operate that way. We don't charge $20 for entry to church services, though maybe more people would come that way. No, we encourage people to belong to our church. And maybe with all that in mind, even a Swabian or Scots can part with some of the money voluntarily at times. So at the heart of giving is our thankfulness, and with that an attitude of praise towards the God who has redeemed us in Jesus Christ and given us new life. In our thankfulness, we join with the people of God throughout time and space and all creation in praising God, whose goodness endures forever and whose faithfulness continues through all generations. Amen.